This reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man in Macedonia pleading with them and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When Paul had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, Lydia urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
And thank you, Jim, for the wonderful reading. One of the marvelous things about community is that it enables us to welcome and help people in a way we couldn't as individuals. When we pool our strength and share the work and responsibility in the household, we can welcome many people, even those in deep distress, and perhaps help them and us find self-confidence and inner healing. This is a quote from Jean Vanier, the founder of L'Arche Communities. And it's something I'd like us to reflect on this morning in the sharing of household and mutuality in Christian life together. So come, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be good and pleasing to you, O God, our family, and the one whom always welcomes us and all people home throughout all time and every place. Amen. During the night, Paul had a vision. This is how our scripture passage starts out this morning, auspiciously, in the book of Acts. The adventures of the apostles. And you all thought that Game of Thrones was epic. In the early, early dawn hours, we imagine Paul waking up and rushing everyone to the seaside to head out on an adventure. Turns out being somebody accompanying Paul did not mean that you got to sleep in. "Get up, I've had another vision. Time to go." Early in the morning, Paul and his companions enter a new region for the first time. And later that week, they go looking immediately for people in prayer. They don't even know who they're looking for, but they know that they are sent. So again, being a follower of Paul means also not having to stick to too much of an itinerary, it turns out. In response to a vision, Paul wakes up and goes looking for a community in prayer. In unfamiliar territory and with destination unknown. He intuitively, the scripture tells us, goes down to the river to look for those who are praying, where he finds a group of women led by Lydia in worship and in prayer. Then, in a great reversal, often missed by traditional scholars, Paul and his band are saved by Lydia. She was a powerful woman and a merchant of the rare item of purple cloth, and she prevailed upon them, meaning that she insistently welcomed them to her home, to feed them and to provide for them. She demands that Paul receive reciprocal her hospitality and sign of gratitude and community. Blessing is not a one-way street. The apostles are brought into her household, into her home, and they find welcome and radical hospitality in this strange new land. In this passage that Jim read, we find a deep sense of mutuality and reciprocity that should make us ask these questions. Who is really being saved here? For whom is this story more of a blessing? Does Lydia and her household save Paul and his friends through this prevailing? Or does Paul save Lydia and her companions? I would argue, and this is important, that they save each other in Christian mutuality and the radical welcome of God. After Lydia's story in Acts, if we continue through chapter 16 and into chapter 17, there is one near-death experience after another for Paul and his companions. Very demanding and terrifying experiences follow this encounter in Berea, in Athens, and elsewhere. Would Paul and his apostles have been able to survive it without the service and the Sabbath midway exactly through Acts of Lydia? Does this time halfway through the great adventures of the apostles at Lydia's home save the whole Christian story? Read in context, I think it could be said that Lydia perhaps saves Christianity. Unlike many imbalanced passages in the Bible, and there are many, 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 around money, spirit, power, gender discrimination, this short passage in Acts chapter 16 is a glimpse of sacred community, called into being a vision of grounding in mutuality, need for all people and their gifts, gentleness and hospitality. I would re-entitle it, The Moment Lydia Saved Christianity. Lydia demanded, insisted that they accept her care as a gift, just as she had received the gospel, the good news from Paul, as a gift. Mutuality. Lydia demonstrates equality with Paul here, and that is significant from a feminist or a progressive hermeneutic reading of the New Testament. Moreover, the text implies that they actually needed each other. Paul was called over the waters early in the morning to Lydia, without knowing her name, to bring her good news. But there he also finds respite and renewal and blessing from her household. That perhaps is why he's able to survive Acts chapter 17. Unlike the imbalanced passages in the scripture, and most of Christian tradition, if we're honest, we find a moment of balance, equanimity, and mutual need and acceptance in this short passage. How is your giving of time and love to church community also a blessing to you? Where do you find mutuality in your Christian walk with others? How do you need this community to show up for you today? Come and stay friends in the household of God. Sustainable service requires the humility of mutuality. It takes great humility to accept true hospitality, doesn't it? With the end of the show Game of Thrones, which show which, by the way, I will never watch. I hate gore and violence, and so it will never be on my Netflix queue, even though I don't think it's Netflix. But anyway, I've learned this really important phrase because it's in all of the social media posts and the articles having to do with Game of Thrones. It's something called a spoiler alert. How many of you all have ever heard of a spoiler alert in many different settings? Okay. I think those of you who were Dallas fans back in the day might have had to deal with this as well. A spoiler alert is an alert that whatever you're about to read or hear will give away in an overly simplistic fashion the end of something. So spoiler alert, friends, here's the summary of the next 8 minutes of this sermon. Christianity is being called to share, to give, and called to receive. Christianity is about receiving hospitality from unexpected sources with grace. In offering radical hospitality, we also have to practice radical receiving, UCC. In sharing gospel hope, in living in community with many who have been rejected, we are not only giving home and household of God, but it's how we truly become Christian, yet maybe even human. Spoiler alert, this is so basic, but we need each other and those in need as much or more than they need us. Progressive Christians, we like to see ourselves as the heroes, but we need the gifts of those whom we serve as much as they need us. So this reminds me of a great theologian in my life, an activist and visionary who died a couple of weeks ago. His name was Jean Vanier, and he was the founder of the L'Arche communities. L'Arche is an international organization of kind of like group homes, but unlike the group homes, which are a top-down service, one-way model, those who are the service providers, the care providers for those living with developmental and mental disability, live in full community, in a family-like context, with those who are the core members, or those living with developmental or mental disability. It is a model of Christianity built and grounded on a theology of mutuality. Vanier was a young man studying to become a priest when a visit to a mental health institution would change his life forever. The New York Times remembered this moment in Vanier's recent obituary in the following terms. Jean Vanier, who dedicated his life to improving conditions for people on the margins and founded two worldwide institutions for those with developmental disabilities, died Tuesday in Paris. The turning point in his life came in 1963 with his first visit as a theology student to an institution with people with intellectual disability. He was so moved by their pleas for help that he bought a house and invited two male residents from that place to come live with him. It was the beginning of L'Arche. Today, L'Arche, 154 communities in 38 countries, in which people, the core members with intellectual disabilities, live together in community where they can belong. Mr. Vanier studied how people with mental disabilities were treated throughout the world and resolved to create a community where people could live with one another in dignity. By living with them, Mr. Vanier said, he truly began to understand what it meant to be human. He said, before meeting them, my life had been grounded and governed largely from my head and my sense of duty. When those ingrained in a culture of winning and individual success really meet people in need and enter into friendship with them, something amazing and wonderful happens. They are changed at a very deep level. They are transformed and become more fundamentally human. This article was terribly entitled, Jean Vanier, Savior of People on the Margins. It was terribly entitled because Vanier and the L'Arche model of Christianity would fundamentally understand it in the inverse. Vanier wasn't the savior of those at the margins at all, but he was the one who was saved. He was saved from a false sense of self and an artificial reality by those at the margins. This is how he and we would have understood it, those involved in L'Arche communities, including the newest one emerging in the world, right here in Fort Collins. Lydia and the women of Macedonia worshipped on their own by the river because they were on the margins too, operating outside of the official circles of power. And it is to them and their community that Paul goes and is welcomed home by Lydia and by God. The late theologian and biblical scholar Gail O'Day wrote of this passage, "The Sabbath gathering suggests that as early as the first century, women believers sought their own voices and stories in worship, freed from the dictates of the male-dominated church." Spoiler alert. It is in mutuality with those at the margins that the church has always found its real meaning. And it is at the margins where the church is saved time and time again from its own grandiosity. The church is saved and renewed by those at the margins. Vanier wrote, "One of the risks that God will always ask of community is that it welcomes visitors, especially the poorest people, the ones who disturb us. Very often, God brings a particular message to a community through an unexpected guest. The day the community starts to turn away from visitors and the unexpected is the day it is in danger of shutting itself off from the action of God. We are too quick to want to defend our past traditions and so to shut ourselves off from the new evolution God wants of us. We want human society, not dependence on God. We are all in danger of living superficially on the periphery of ourselves. Community life demands that we constantly go beyond our own resources, mutuality. If we do not have the spiritual resources we need, we will close in on ourselves and in our own comfort and security, or throw ourselves into work as an escape. We will throw up walls around our sensitivity. We will perhaps be polite and obedient, but we will not live in love. And when you do not live in love, there is no hope and no joy. To live with gratuity, we have to be constantly nourished. It is terrible to see people who are living in so-called community that has become a boarding house for bachelors. It is terrible to see elders in a community who have closed up their hearts, lost their initial enthusiasm, and have become critical or cynical. If we are to remain faithful to the daily round, we need daily manna. It is in the manna of meetings, of friendship, of looks and smiles that say, I love you, and warm the heart. The household of God, friends, is rooted in mutuality of shared and unexpected blessings. The National Church this last week sent me an email asking me for one of their publicity pieces to respond to this question on the future of the church as a young minister. They asked me, what does the future of the church look like? What does the future of the church look like? It looks, in my opinion, like every local church taking the call to being a living household of God. It means the local congregation living into the freedom of dynamic mutuality, like that of Paul and Lydia. The future of the church looks like L'Arche Christianity. It looks like communities and the giftedness of each person in mutual blessing. So, going back to our scripture, perhaps this isn't, as tradition usually calls this passage, the conversion of Lydia at all. But it is the real and true conversion of Paul into accepting the mutuality and the strengths of others. Perhaps we miss in this story the transformation that happens in Paul and in the church more than in Lydia. Maybe the one being saved here isn't Lydia and her household, but it is Paul and his disciples being saved from their own narrow-mindedness and busyness. This is the manna that Vanier talks about. There is scriptural evidence to this effect. That is how I choose to read this story and understand Christianity. Come and stay, friends, in a truly mutual realm and household of God. Lydia prevailed against them, and they were brought into her household, where the ones who in busyness and power are the ones who are then saved by that hospitality. Like Jean Vanier, we choose to believe that all may and must be transformed in authentic mutuality by the gentleness of love. Amen.